I appreciate the privilege to share the word with you. I always get excited and it's an opportunity. I guess we've all had moments that we recall when we did not follow directions. I think maybe one of the reasons they become so memorable to us is we may have expected a different result than what we first imagined. I'd like for, as an example, to begin with a testimonial of Mortimer's Magical Hair Tonic.
Yes! Mortimer's Magical Hair Tonic. Man, I hope this works. I have followed the directions very specifically. It says, if I do all these items, I will have hair growth. So I'm looking, I'm trying, apply daily and massaging vigorously. I've done that. Well, I've got a little bit of hair there. I can see some coming. Yeah, I've done that. Specially formulated leaves your hair looking well-groomed and lustrous. Great. But I'm still not getting the results I'd wanted. You know what? I know what. I'm just going to have to do this to boost it. Here goes nothing. Oh, that's terrible. Mortimer, I hope that works to get me to grow hair.
Wow, it has worked. Thank you, Mortimer. I can feel it. I can feel it. Yes, yes, I have hair. I have hair. It's wonderful. I have hair again.
What's this? What? Warning, do not swallow or you may experience permanent hair loss.
But I've got hair again. I've got hair.
As you can tell, I didn't follow directions, did I? Maybe another example will further illustrate the principle of what I want to share today. It's called the conditional clause. If you do something, then you can expect this particular result. Now, we may have some Andy Griffith fans beyond Lee Nelson that's present with us today. I know Lee really likes Andy Griffith. There was an episode called Opie and the Spoiled Kid. Some of you, wow, you're right on top of it. It features our iconic Ron Howard, starring as Opie, of course, and his friend Ronnie Dapo playing the role of Arnold. What Arnold tried to convince Opie is, if you will throw a temper tantrum, stomp your feet, yell, cry, then you can get the same bicycle that I got. And think about it, this is back in the 50s, 60s. $70 bicycle that Arnold had. And he tried to convince Opie, if you do this, then you'll get the bicycle and you can convince your dad, obviously Sheriff Andy Taylor, you can get the bicycle. Well, it didn't work. So in these two examples of what I'm giving you, if you put Mortimer's Magical Hair Tonic, then you can have hair growth or Opie. But in both of those circumstances, that obviously failed. To give you something else, and I'll bring it back to the if then, I've heard Dr. Anderson share on several occasions through the years, there are three basic Hebrew words in the book of Proverbs that are translated in our English texts. And as you make your way to Proverbs, where we're going to be today, the first word for us in English is knowledge. And as he is captured, as Solomon uses this throughout the book to encourage his sons, obviously it applies to our life as well, the focus of knowledge is to grasp the facts, to intellectually take in those facts. Wisdom has the idea of how to use those facts. As you come to a situation, we need the Lord's wisdom. We all recognize James 1:5 that we can pray for it, that he'll help us how to apply the facts in that particular situation. The third word, there's actually several different words we will see in English. Understanding, the idea of discernment, judgment, discretion, all those are used interchangeably, has the concept of when to use the facts. I share that with you as you have in mind to look and study the book of Hebrews. It's helped me to have those definitions in mind. But part of what can happen with an if, then, if is false, if can be false, if that happens to be the case, then you will not get the result that you're anticipating or hoping. What I want to share with you, these six principles we're going to look at this morning, each one of these actually has this condition that's in the structure. It's guaranteed if you do this, this will result for all six of these principles that we're going to look at. So if you're there in Proverbs 2, I'd like to read the first 9 verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So you can note, before we get there, all three of those words in the same verse, verse 6. Verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. This first one I'd like to share is in the first phrase, if you hear God's word. In fact, as you can see the phrase for us, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, if you will hear. A little different from English. We're used to couplets. We're used to lines being right together. If you will go down and look at the first phrase of verse 5, here's where I want to point out the then as a result. So if thou will receive my words, and I think what parallels with it is the beginning phrase of verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. But it starts with hearing. Now, I'm sure all of us can quote Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It just means that much more. We need to be able to take in the word. We need to be able to hear it. It's interesting. Even the word then happens to be in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Did you ever have an occasion? Maybe this happened to, I'm going to guess, guys a lot more frequently than the girls. Sorry, guys. I am one. I understand. But did your mom ever say, look at me when I talk to you. Look, look, look. Now, I know this gesture is like, you know, I'm watching you. I got eyes on you. And maybe your mom did that, but she was like, look, look at me. Why would she do that? Say, well, my mom's vain. She always wanted me to look at her. No. She wanted your undivided attention. And some of us can say guilty. Others are like, no, I was a nice child. Okay, sure, fine, whatever. But, you know, look at me. I want your attention so that I know you're listening. I know you're focused on me. You're listening to me. And then is this, again, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. You're going to be able to grasp what the Lord is saying to you. You'll understand that. And again, as we're looking at wisdom, understanding, the knowledge, you'll be able to say, this is what God is trying to say to me. We'll hear him. So if I were just to capture this in one of these conditional clauses, this first principle, if you will hear God's word, then you will grasp what the Lord is saying to you. Let's look at the second one. The second phrase of verse 1. If, I know you don't see it repeated, but he has this idea, the connotation is here. If you will hide my commandments with thee, and then what I believe is the contra of that, or the then, is actually the second phrase of verse 5. If you will hide my commandments with thee, then thou shalt find the knowledge of God. How do you hide God's word? This isn't a game like, ooh, let's put the Bible over here. Some of you hadn't planned this, but I remember being in Michigan with Gospel Heralds. I need a moment for Factoryville Bible Church, Athens. Yes, good job. They played a game. They actually took the Bible. They hid it. And it was like a scavenger hunt. You had to get to the Bible to discover it. That's not what Solomon has in mind. Hiding God's word, and we know. I'm almost insulting by asking the question. How do we hide it? We hide it in our hearts. A verse again, I believe we can do Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, just how personal, not sin against God, sin against thee when we have that focus. We hide it. Miss Parvin quoted a verse during a recent all-school reception. I can't remember if it was last year or year before. Our favorite promise, and I wasn't able to check this in advance, but a verse I learned as a teenager, I hope you have this, and if you don't, it's worth writing it down in your chapel journals, a future verse to memorize or at least know where it is. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Just visually picture what Paul is saying. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, there's knowledge, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As a teenager, the Lord rescued me over and over and over by memorizing that verse, but of course, to whom much is given, much is required. It's a meaningful verse, casting down those imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To me, that's hiding God's word in your heart. It's there in moments of attack or temptation. It's helpful to have the word of God. It's there. It's ready. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, as we recognize from Hebrews 4. So, if we were to capture the second one, if you will hide God's word, then you will grasp the reality of what God is trying to teach you. Let's look at this third one. If, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Incline your ear. And I believe the contra of that, or the one that goes with that, is in verse 6. The result, the granting of God's wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, it's interesting, as I prepared for today, the word incline in certain passages of the Old Testament, as it was translated, it said it literally had the idea of an animal that pricks up its ears. And we'd all recognize there are moments we're standing there, maybe it's with your dog, and your dog, all of a sudden, the ears prick up, and you're like, I don't hear anything yet. But then you realize within a moment or two, obviously we know about dogs' sense of hearing, but the thought of being attentive, I hear something. If we incline, again, verse 2, incline thine ear unto wisdom. If we're attentive and apply thine heart, the second phrase of verse 2, and I was really fascinated by this, applying. It had another illustration in Exodus 7. When the Lord stretched out his hand to deliver the plagues, and I thought, that's interesting. Usually we think of apply like, okay, I need to apply this to my life. But can you imagine God stretching out saying, I am sending my judgment upon Egypt because they refused to let my people go. And as we know, we can look back in Exodus, the 10 plagues that he sent. We know that 10th one obviously finally got Pharaoh's attention enough that he did let them go. Well, really, the Lord got his attention all along, but the 10th one, he released them. But this picture of eagerly applying, of stretching out, of reaching and saying, I am eager to do this. I am going to apply. Being attentive to apply. And notice what God does in verse 6. God provides that wisdom. I'd already alluded to, and I'm sure that we could quote James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. You know, it's one thing, and I think of the passage in Luke, give and it shall be given unto you. you know, our friend comes and says, hey, I need some money. And we're like, all right, fine, fine. I'll give you a dollar, and that's all I give you. But if we give liberally, it's like, here, take all of it. And no, Brandon, no need to come up and say, I'll take it. You give liberally. You just give over and above. I've used this illustration before, like having a cup of flour. You can pour the flour in here and say, here you go, here's a full cup. But if you tap it down, pour some more, tap it down, pour some more, tap it down, those particles that normally stand up against each other, they fall flat. You can really overflowingly fill that cup. Give as it shall be, you know, shall be given unto you. For what measure that you mete out shall men give back to you? You know, it's almost, to me, this same picture. God gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I don't know if you've considered the word upbraideth. He doesn't make light of. He doesn't take it lightly. He doesn't look at us and go, yeah, right, like I'm going to give you wisdom and what are you going to do with it? He doesn't look at us that way. And at the end of verse 5 that we recognize, and it shall be given him. How meaningful that is. So if I were to capture what I'm calling this third, if you will incline, if you'll be attentive, if you will stretch out to apply, then God will provide all that we need, the facts, the when, and how to use those facts. The fourth one, the beginning phrase of verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Talk about that in just a moment. The contrary, the one that goes with that in the beginning phrase of verse 7, then he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. If thou criest after knowledge, the psalmist had written in Psalm 120, verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Have you been around somebody that cries a lot? No. Guys, you don't have to talk about it. You look in the mirror and you see that. But, you know, have you been around somebody just, they're a crier. It's like all the time. It's like, what is wrong with you? You know, you're a basket case. You need some help. Come on, roomie. I'm trying to help you here. I know you talk to your roomie that way. I did talk with my roomie that way back in the 80s. And he's not here today. So, but whether we're emotional or not as emotional, we know, as we would read David's Psalms and some of the things that he would write, very, very emotionally based. In my distress, I cried, and even here, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, you may say today, but I don't cry that much. In fact, I'm pretty laid back. I'm easygoing, and there are some of you like that. It helps balance out the rest of us in the world. I know that. But here's the reality. Whether you cry or you whisper, he still hears us. And that, to me, is the encouragement. If thou criest after knowledge, he layeth up. And this is great. I love looking at this. He layeth up sound wisdom. It has the picture, he puts it back in store. Not only is he there wanting to give us wisdom, James 1:5, as I just was reading through, but he is laying up sound wisdom for us. He's just waiting. It's like, come on, ask me. I'm going to give it to you. Just ask. I've got it ready. Just ask for it. It's stored up. He layeth up sound wisdom. He stores it. I want to share, you know, talking about crying, whether people are emotional or not as emotional. I remember something very profound for me, Word of Life New York, when I was about your age, not twice your age in a few more years. I don't care how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when your feet hit the ground. And that had a big impact on me. Because honestly, you say, well, you're really animated, and I am, those of you that know me more than others, but I will admit I have become more emotional as a dad. Even my wife's like, man, what is wrong with you? You didn't used to act this way. It's true. I know that. I'm guilty. But whether you go, yeah, or, and I could jump real high and scream, but we don't want to do that. I don't care how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when your feet hit the ground. So missions conference, it's exciting. It's wonderful. Yes, God's called me to the mission field. And a couple of days later, you're like, I don't know if I can make it to the mission field. I got all these papers to do. He will help you. So let me capture this fourth one. If you will cry out, then the Lord is storing up for you the needed wisdom. Let's look at the fifth one. What I have as the second part of verse 3. If thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, then, down in verse 7, as a result, he will guard, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Appreciate Mr. Hans choosing the song, you know, O Worship the King, and there it was. He is our buckler, he is our shield, he is our protector, our guard. He is a buckler. So even though Solomon is repeating, thou criest after knowledge, you lift your voice up for understanding, and I know that same picture is there, he's the one that's the buckler, the shield, the defense. Now, as an ABC student, I know, I've been there, done that, got several t-shirts, some are in the drawer, some are hanging, but there are lonely moments. There are moments you're frustrated and saying, God, there is no way, there is no way I can survive this. I can't. There is no way. I'd like to share with you the wisdom of Becky Williams' dad. Doug Williams was an upperclassman when I was a freshman here at ABC. I remember during dorm devos, another moment that was very powerful and impacting. He said as a freshman, so for those of you that used to be freshmen, think back, those of you living it, all you got to do is look at yourself now. You say, how can I do all these papers and projects and memorize these verses and write this and do that and all these reports? How can I do that? But the Lord is with you as you get the practice of doing that when you're a sophomore and you do more papers and longer papers. You know, as a freshman, you hear a 5-page, 10-page paper, you're like, oh my, I'm going to have to blah, 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 blah a lot to get that far. Some of us don't have to do that. By the time you got to a junior and you're like, man, I wish I only had to do 3-page papers again because now I got to crank out these mini novels to get to your senior year. Get the manuscript ready, right? Doug didn't do all the animation, but he was saying, the Lord helps you as you develop along. And as you look and say, there is no way I can accomplish that. As you look back, look how the Lord has developed me. Look how the Lord has blessed and provided for me. I got these papers done. I don't know how. Some were later than they should have been. But the Lord helped me. I give that to you to encourage you. Just as Solomon's encouraging his sons to lift up their voice for understanding, look what the Lord will do. I've not pointed out till now, but I'd like to use this opportunity in verse 7. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Several places throughout this passage, there is that prerequisite. We have to be godly. We have to be meeting that condition. We have to walk uprightly. We've got to do, if I may, we got to follow directions. You can't just take the shortcut and say, oh, yeah, I did it quick enough. Hey, I read 2 verses today. I'm good for the week. No. You've got to follow, walk uprightly. So let me capture this fifth one. If you will raise your voice, your heart, then the Lord will protect you. Let's look at our sixth one here. Verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver. And no, guys, this is not the girlfriend or the potential maid here. It's referring back to wisdom, to knowledge. If you seekest wisdom as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Notice what will happen at the end of verse 7. That's where I need. Oh, verse 8. Sorry, I was looking the wrong place. Verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Now, Proverbs 11:27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. This word seeketh and searcheth, same idea. It depends, it can have a good or bad connotation. It depends on the context. So for my own heart, and maybe this will help you too, for my own heart, I have to look and say, but where am I putting my energy? Where am I putting my focus? It can be good or it can be bad. Whatever you're seeking, you're going to get it. Are you seeking the right, proper, appropriate things? Because as Solomon's telling his sons, if you seek wisdom as silver and searchest for wisdom as if it was a hidden treasure, a buried treasure, whether wholesome or destructive, it matters where we apply our energy. And then for the idea of the silver, the hidden treasures, I know some of you already have Jack Sparrow in mind, hidden treasure in your mind, took off on Pirates of the Caribbean, I know. But when you've had something that was that meaningful that you would look and search and try to find, whether it's a scavenger hunt like a game, or you lost something like, I'm really got to find that. I'm looking, I can't find it. If we were to search for wisdom like that, then we would be able to note, like Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's back to that same thought. Is it meaningful or is it a useless pursuit? And then for keepeth, he keepeth the paths of judgment. In verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment. Same word in Proverbs 4:13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And it reminds me of Jacob grabbing that angel saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Holding on, keeping, grasping and saying, I'm not letting go. God preserves, he keeps, he protects, he guards the way of his saints. Again, as we see there in verse 8, but the word preserveth, he's keeping, he's protecting. So to capture this sixth principle that we're looking, if you will seek wisdom as you would valuable treasures, then God will keep and guard your way. I don't have a slide for this, but to summarize these six. So if you will hear, if you will hide God's word, if you'll be attentive, in fact, stretch out to apply, say, that's what I want to do in my life. If you cry out and raise your voice to the Lord, if you seek wisdom as a valuable treasure, then there's some guaranteed results. I mean, that's what Solomon's telling his son. Guarantee you will grasp what the Lord is trying to say to you. Then you will grasp what the Lord is trying to teach you. Then you'll understand God will provide for all of your need. Then you'll tap into God's stored up needed wisdom for your life. Then you will sense God's keeping and guarding your way. So verse 9, I just want to use this as our overarching summary. He captures it in this verse, verse 9. Then, as a result of all this, then shalt thou understand righteousness. I personally appreciate the reminder throughout the year. Dr. A, I know, prepares in advance as he shares, and he has told you as a campus family, he shares our privilege as administrative committee, the vice presidents. We have a retreat in July, 1st of August, typically. He was already ready with this, right as God sees it. So I was glad to have heard it back then. To have that reinforcement through the year, as I prepared for this, it's like, wow, this is so front and center. You can see right as God sees it. You can grasp righteousness right in God's eyes. What else can you grasp? The judgment. It literally is the right justice, the equal scales for all. Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balances are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. And I started thinking, we've all seen scales like this. If you put 16-ounce pound weight on one side and you're taking an element, let's just say some cereal or some fruit, and you're trying to weigh out a pound, obviously, you know when it's balanced that you have a pound. There were some merchants, and Solomon has some very strict words throughout the book of Proverbs, part of what I'm just reading. There were some merchants that would cheat you, and this is what they would do. Let's say Josh King is coming to buy some wheat for me. Well, I'm going to cheat Josh. Now, if I put a 4-ounce weight on the scale instead of a pound, he's going to go, wait a minute, that can't be a pound. That's not even close. But you know, if he's buying for me, I'm going to put a lighter weight on there. I'm going to put a 15-ounce weight. And he can't tell by looking at it. Maybe he tries to bite it and say, hey, that doesn't taste right. Just kidding. But if it's a 15-ounce weight, I'm cheating him a little bit, right? I'm not giving him a full pound. But let's take the reverse. Let's say that I'm trying to buy some, and I slide a 17-ounce, and you all get 16 ounces, right? It's a pound, you get that. Slide a 17-ounce weight on there and say, I'm actually getting more. Now, you throw a 3-pound weight and it's supposed to be one, anybody's going to go, dude, you're cheating me. But there were merchants that had two different weights in their bag. So what is Solomon saying? I want you to have the right justice. I want you to have equal scales for everybody. Treat everyone the same. Grasping judgment. The third one, grasping fairness, equity. I don't know, some of you are going to look and say, man, that's redundant. How can you say right straightness? The concept here with done justly, done fairly. And I know, this isn't fair, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I prayed, Lord, should I say this or not? Most things he'd probably say, leave it alone. But I have been really frustrated through these past months, and I know, this could be really a political comment, but I'm going to move on. When some stand up and say, everybody's got to pay their fair share. Yes, I'm still yelling at my TV going, who is in charge to say this is fair or this is unfair? Where is the standard? What is fair? I never heard that until these last months. Oh, everybody's not doing their fair part. I won't get any more political than that. I'll leave it at that. But when we have the right straightness, when we do things justly, with the right fairness, the right equity, it's because we have understood what God wants us to do. Fair by whose standards? Right here, folks. Right here, the Bible. That's our standard. Our last one, every good path. And as I'm expressing this, our right course of action. It's an interesting picture that every good path, as it's translated throughout the Old Testament, obviously Hebrew, can have a picture of a track or rut that a wagon wheel goes through. And we all understand with the rut, you're not going to get that wagon wheel out of that, depending on how deep that rut is. And I know some rebel against that and say, but I don't want to be in this rut. This is terrible. I don't want to be here. It's like the train that's on the track. The track restricts it. But because it stays on the track, it can move. You put it over in the field with no track, it's going to topple over. It's not able to move. This right course of action, you know, it's a guarantee where the wheel wagon would go as long as the wheel stayed in the road. This path in Proverbs 2:9 really literally has the idea of the course of action. The Lord will specifically lead us precisely where he wants us to be, if we allow him to put us in his wagon wheel path. So, where are you at today? Have you been listening? If, then, can we grasp righteousness, grasp judgment, grasp fairness and equity, every good path? If we follow what he wants us to do. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you as we look at your word. It captures precisely what we need in our lives. Lord, I don't know who under the sound of my voice today needs which principle or which principles. Thank you for speaking to my own heart. If we follow your commands, then as a guaranteed result, we can expect what you say you're going to do because your word is true. And Lord, even with this last verse, I would hope and pray for each of us that we can grasp righteousness, judgment, fairness, equity, every good path. Lord, you doeth all things well. Thank you that you love us and care for us. Thank you again for the privilege to be here today. We give you the glory for what you're going to accomplish. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.